I don't know about you, but you know, when they change this daylight savings time, does it kind of throw you off for a little bit? I mean, here, a couple weeks, you know, we're past daylight saving time, and I'm saying to Paula, I said, isn't it time to go to bed yet? And we look at our watch, and it's 8 o'clock. And I thought, how is that possible? If it was in the summertime, I would have never asked that question. 9 o'clock at night, you're out, you're doing whatever you want to do. Light has such a life-giving sense to us, and it's just very cool because it gives us so much energy, and there's so much that happens that way. I'm reminded because Aaron is here from Alaska today. Because my brother lives in Alaska, I go up there, and when you go to Alaska in the summertime, it doesn't get dark until 1 o'clock in the morning. I remember Clayton was a year old, and we were sitting in a camper outside this campground, and Clayton's out there playing at 1 o'clock in the morning in the light. And that's what light does for you. Now, I got to say, I've been there in the winter. And when you go in the winter, it's just the opposite. It doesn't get light till 10 o'clock in the morning, and it gets dark at 4. If you work inside, you didn't see the light. And I can tell you that drains your energy. There's something about that that makes it difficult, you know, to kind of go on. Well, you know, light is very important to us. I mean, just think about that. If you had to wear this for 2 weeks, how much would that change your life? If you weren't able to see and you had to just live in the darkness, it would just totally change what you can do and how you perceive things. And really, I managed your attitude might even change because it's difficult. Well, you know, I spent some time in a cave. And when you're in the cave and there's no light, you can't see your hand in front of your face. I mean, it can be right there and you can't see it. But it is so strange. You can be in that type of darkness and someone lit a candle. I'm talking a little candle. And when that candle is lit, you can see the whole top of the cave. You can see all of the things. And as you sit there in that darkness, that light overtakes the darkness in a way that you went from not even having any sense whatsoever of what was around you to where you could see the outline of everything just by the light of the candle. Well, that's the power of light. The Bible helps us to understand some things by having us sense it in reference to light. I mean, He uses light to help us to understand who God is. He uses light to help us to understand what Jesus came to do and what His function was. He uses light to describe to us His Word. And then He also uses light to say who we are. Well, let's look at some of this. In 1 John 1, 5, it says that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, I want you to think about that. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. All, which means there is no darkness in Him whatsoever. He is not 95% there and 5% darkness. He is not 95% good and 5% bad. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Which means when He says to you, I love you, He means it all the way through. There is no shadow to that. See, there is no percentage to that. How much do you love me? I love you 100%. There is no darkness in me. When He speaks to you, when He says things to you, when He has purpose for you, it is 100%. He doesn't tell us to do things with ulterior motives. God doesn't say to you, well, do this and I'm going to love you. Do this and you'll be 100%. He loves you. There's no darkness in Him. He doesn't manipulate you. He doesn't do things to try to get you to do it His way. There's no darkness there. We are so unused to that, that it makes it difficult for us to really believe it. See, we have lived in a society, we've lived in a fallen world, we've lived in a place, and then when someone comes and says to you, God is good, you don't even begin to understand that. I can't understand how good God is because I've never seen someone that good. Because I've never seen someone with total light. No darkness at all. I can tell you this, the way that you approach God, if you would simply get this one revelation, it would clear up a whole lot of hesitation in you. Because if I understood that God is all good, He has all light, and if He tells me something, I can trust that, and to know that what He says will be, no darkness at all. Then he goes on to speak concerning light and his son. We look in John chapter 1. And as we read in John chapter 1, it just says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being. Do you understand the partnership here? Then it says that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. Jump down to verse 9. There was the true light which came into the world, enlightens every man. And He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own didn't receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Jesus came to give light and life. It says He came. And what life did He have? The life of God. He had perfect light. He had perfect heart. And He came to give that to us. And it says that He came to give light, and the light was the light of men. And it says that the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. That is so mind-boggling. That God can be so good, and so real, and so much on your side, and we take that so little, with so little purpose and so little drive. And Jesus came as that very same light into the world. And He came to give life to people. And He came to share this. And when He came into the world, in the midst of all of this darkness, He was the light. And the darkness didn't care. They saw no need for Him. No need for this interaction. No need for change in their lives. And it says that He even came to His own, and His own received Him not. But there's a very neat verse here. But to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name. There is a connection that happens to the light of God through Jesus Christ that comes through believing in Him and receiving Him. And by that comes interaction. Life becomes yours, and it's a part of you. In John 12 and 46, Jesus says of this, He says, I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in Me may not remain in darkness. That was Jesus' purpose for coming for you. That you no longer remain in darkness. He didn't come just to die for your sin. He came to take darkness out of your life. He came to change you, to change what you would have to face, to change how you would have to live life. And He came to do it for you. He was already light. He was already at the beginning. He was already at the creation. He didn't need to come for Him. He didn't need to come to declare that He was the light. It says that He came to declare that He was the light in the world so that you could move out of the darkness. And how do you get there? Believe. He came as the light and says that for everyone who believes, they may not remain in darkness. Now go to John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus here again is speaking of Himself. And He says that I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He makes this really simple. I'm the light. If you will simply follow Me, you walk with Me, you walk the path that I walk, you know where you're going to find yourself? In the light. There isn't this whole thing of trying to get out of darkness. You just walk with the light. Jesus says, walk with Me, follow Me, and the light is yours. So that is our declaration. That's what He's given. He just says, follow in My footsteps. He's making this really, really easy. Follow in My footsteps. And He says that you won't walk in darkness. See? You'll have the light of life. See? He is willing and has a purpose and has a design to lead you in life. And He wants to lead you out of the darkness into His light. Why does He want you out of darkness? It is a very painful place to live. Living in darkness is painful. All of the stuff that you will go through in life if you don't walk next to Him and in His footsteps. You will stumble over a lot of things, and you'll stumble over them time and time again. It so surprises me how just because we stumble and fall and get hurt, we aren't smart enough to avoid that next time. Why don't we avoid it next time? Because we have no light. We fell, we crashed, we hurt. But that's just life. No, it isn't. That's darkness. And He called us out of darkness into His light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. God is speaking here, and He just says that it's Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Whose plan is that? That's His. All He says is, understand it. Get in on it. Receive it. Welcome it. He is willing to take you out of darkness into what? Marvelous light. What a contrast. His light has no darkness at all. That's His life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. The Father is also speaking to us here. It says that He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness. He has delivered us from a dominion of darkness. I can tell you, people, if you think that you can produce light on your own, you can't do it. You will struggle your whole life trying to become light. You're in a kingdom of darkness that you get delivered from, that you get taken from by the power of the redemptive work of Christ. which has bought for us the privilege of coming out of the darkness into His marvelous light. And not only did we get forgiven, but we get to live in the light. It isn't just a struggle to get to heaven. It is an ability to live in the light of God, to live in the path of God, to live in the plan of God. The purposes of God are yours in Christ Jesus, and that was God's plan. You're not asking God to do something He hasn't already planned for you. That's His plan. See, in Christ, the power of darkness has been broken over your life. You don't have to break it. You can't break the power of darkness over your life, but you can come to Him and He does that for you. Because He is light and He banishes the darkness. He breaks it over the believer. Now, Jesus talked to His disciples, and He just gave them authority over the darkness. He's done that for us as believers. We have authority over the areas of darkness that are there to trip up, cripple, do whatever. We have freedom from that in Christ. But you've got to, what? Believe. Receive. And it's yours. Jesus came so that we could watch Him live. And it says that His life was the light of man. So He set for you a pattern to walk in. But He didn't come to show you the pattern and say, okay, now you guys got to do it. He just showed you what you can walk in if you're in the light. So you got to understand, you got to come to the light, you got to be in the light, and when I'm in it, then this walk is mine, this freedom is mine, this abundance is mine, this ability to live is mine. And I can do it as Jesus did it in the earth, because I am His. And I'm in Him, and He's in me. That abundance is mine in Christ. Jesus covered every base. You got to understand this. I mean, when He was getting ready to leave, He tells these people, it's better that I go, because the Holy Spirit's going to come, and the Holy Spirit is going to teach you these things. He's going to come and be a part of you, and all of that's going to happen, and I'm going to dwell inside of you. You know, this type of thing was going to happen to where Christ is in us. The light of God is in us. And He says, just receive it, and you'll be able to walk in it. He also uses light to describe the Word of God. Now, in Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, the psalmist is saying this, he just says that Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. Why is that so important? That's where you stumble. You can be in the midst of all of the darkness. Doesn't matter how dark it is out there. Doesn't matter how much darkness there is. What does matter is that you see where you walk. So I choose how to walk in an area of safety. How I choose how to walk. He says that my word is a lamp unto your feet. It allows us to see what steps to take, where to walk. It allows you to see what's going to trip you up. It allows you to show you where the edge of the cliff is. It shows you what is destruction in your life. And that's what the Word of God does for you. And you have to welcome that to know where to walk. If you just say, I don't need it, you're going to walk in darkness. And you're going to stumble over a whole lot of things you could have had freedom from because you didn't value the light of the Word. The light of the Word is not a bondage. It is not a set of rules. It is not something to show you that you can't attain. The Word of God and the light of God is to show you that He has designed a path for you that is safe and is free and is abundant and is blessed. And all you have to do is to receive it and see the light of it and walk in it and to know that He's with you every step you take. Now that is the truth of the light of the Word of God. Well, it is a lamp unto our feet, but it's so much more. It is a light unto our path. The Word of God is not all about just keeping you from stumbling. It is revealing to you who you are, where you're to go, what path you're to be on, what your life is to be like, what your purpose is, what your destiny is, what His plan is for you. All of that is in the Word, and it is light. And you need to be able to see that, and you need to be able to rejoice in that and to say, hey, that's good, and that's me. The Word of God, when it brings light and revelation to who you are in Christ, if you fight the light, you'll still stumble in darkness. If you embrace the light and say, well, God, I don't see it. I mean, I don't really feel like I'm there. I don't really feel like, I don't know that much goodness is going to come. If He speaks it as light, there's no darkness in Him at all. Receive it. And say, okay, God, if that's what You say I am in Christ, then that's what I am in Christ. And if You say that I can have that freedom, then that freedom is mine. And if You say that You have a high calling for me, then I receive that. That light is mine, and I let it build and make me who He wanted me to be. You got to remember, every bit of this was His plan. We didn't ask Him, but this was His plan. He designed that for us. And you need to welcome it and to jump into it. Now, this is a psalmist. This is Old Testament stuff. I just want you to join with me in this. When we're looking at Psalm 19, verse 97, the psalmist says this, oh, how I love Thy law. That's what he said. Oh, how I love Thy law. He was so taken in with the Word of God, with the revelation that God gives, that he's crying out a love song to God. Oh, I love this. If you understand that, and you place value in what God says, you'll understand why that happens. He says, oh, how I love Thy law. I meditate on it day and night. I meditate on it all day. Why? There's value there. There's value in what God speaks. And when you put your focus there, the light of that Word changes you and helps you to be who He wants you to be. He says that Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. You need to understand that. If you embrace the Word of God and it becomes yours, he says, when it's mine, when it becomes yours, the wisdom you receive from that takes you way above the bar, way above the enemies, way above your reasoning, way above your ability to figure all this stuff out on your own. He says, it's your wisdom. And that comes from your Word. He says that I have more insight than my teachers. For Thy testimonies are my meditation. If I take what God says, and if I believe what God says, and I embrace it, and I take it, and I receive it, there isn't much man can teach me. I hate to say that. There's very little this fallen world can teach you that would have the value that there is in the light of God. and the revelation of his word. And he's, and so he so understands that, that he says, I value this so much. Verse 100, I understand more than the aged because I have observed thy precepts. Young men, get that. Get that. If you embrace what God speaks, you will be wiser than the oldest men you know that lived out all of this stumbling, all of this falling, all of this stuff that would cause them to have wisdom at the end of their days and say, I shouldn't have walked there. Don't do this, young man. You can have all of that wisdom from the Word of God if you simply embrace it. You don't have to live by falling and getting up, drudge and getting up, disaster and getting up. You don't have to do that because His wisdom is there for you if you will embrace it. He says that I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not turned aside from thine ordinances. Now, this is a whole nother reason to follow the Word of God rather than trying to be in right standing. You need to understand this. If you're just trying to follow the laws of God so that you can be right, you're going to miss it. And you're going to stumble. And you're going to, you know, some days you're not going to be there. I can tell you that. Maybe on Sunday I'm there. You know, on Wednesday I'm not. And I'm not going to live this out today because if you understand the value of the counsel of the Word of God, if I understand that I don't want to walk that way because He has life for me over here that is real life, and I've chosen the life rather than the destruction, then I'm not trying to live out a principle of right standing with God. I'm just living life His way. And I enjoy it because He's designed it for me, and I get the freedom of escaping so much of the bad. And I despise the bad, not because I think it's evil. I despise it because it's there to destroy me. And this good is here to bless me. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do you think he got it? That's my question. Did he get it? Sure he did. He understood that God's word and God's light is the thing in life that he desires more than anything else. See, I don't desire the sweetness of honey and say, ooh, that's good. No, that's second place to the sweetness of the word of God that brings life and liberty to me and my family. And so he puts value there. And when his value is there, so is freedom. So is rejoicing. So is fine. It says, from thy concepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Why do we fall into false ways? We're not sure they're really that bad. So you go there anyway. I don't know. It's not that bad. If I understood the goodness of his counsel, of his word, of what he's asked me to do, of where he's asked me to walk, if I walk into his footsteps the way that he walked, if I am there and I see the value to that, that is mine. That is mine. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but if you're ever out and you know, when people get lost in the darkness, they have a tendency just to kind of walk in circles. They just walk in circles, and they have a tendency, because they're walking in circles, to trip over the same things over and over again because you're in the darkness. And that's kind of the pattern of walking in darkness, is continually going nowhere and falling time and time again, feeling the same pain over and over. God says that he has light for that, so that you don't have to do that. See? I have light that will shine into the darkness so that you can follow my plan, my pattern, my purposes, and you don't have to live life that way. I don't know. If you drove into Yosemite National Park, I don't know if any of you have been there or not, but there are just huge rocks all to the side and just gorgeous, gorgeous place. If you drove into there in the middle of the night, you would be there, but you would see nothing. I mean, you're there, but it's dark. I don't see the cliffs. I don't see this huge valley, this meadow, this gorgeous, gorgeous scenery. I don't see any of that until morning. And when the light shines on it, all of a sudden, I see it. And I think, wow, is this ever good? Is this ever neat? Is this ever a place that I want to be? Well, I can tell you that that's how it is with us being living in darkness. You can live in darkness all of your life and never understand the glory of his light, of what there is to see in life, what there is to accomplish in life, what God's pattern is for you, what his plan for you is. It's all revealed in the light. You can't even understand it in the darkness. You don't even know what's there. You don't even know to pursue it. You don't even know to walk that way. I'm telling you guys, there is no gift greater than what God did in his Son. Because what God did in his Son was to take a place you didn't even know how to get to and offered it to you freely by the redemptive gift of his Son who died on the cross for you so that you could be free from the darkness that this world has to offer you. And there are people out there, a lot of people out there, that still live in the darkness because they've never got the revelation that this is theirs. And what a gift for us who can believe that's God's plan. And how simple it is to receive it in his Son. I did a lot of camping. And when you do camping, when it gets dark, do you know where your focus goes? To yourself. How do I stay warm? How do I stay safe? How do I get through this? How do I wait until the light of dawn? That's what happens when you live in darkness. See, when your life is centered in darkness, you live your whole life for yourself, trying to satisfy those needs, those things, those passions, that whatever. You're trying to make it work for you. Such a struggle. But when the light of God comes, it frees you from that. Life is not about me. It's about his purposes, his dreams, his passions for me, where he's taking me, what he wants for me, where I'm going. That is the light of God for me. And when I embrace that, I'm telling you, you don't care so much about yourself. This thing of trying to stay warm isn't your passion. My passion is climbing the cliff of Yosemite or something. I mean, you're going for what you see, not just trying to survive in the darkness. This is a gift. It's a gift from God that is so precious. And yet he came and people still don't see it. That's the sad part. He came. He did that. He was the light in the world. But the light didn't receive the darkness. I mean, the darkness didn't receive the light and they didn't want it. They didn't want to entertain it because they didn't understand it. But those who got the revelation and understood it, believed it, and received it, and out of that, their lives are radically, radically changed by the life of God, by the light of God. Psalms 119, 130. says that the entrance of thy word gives light and gives understanding. The entrance of thy word giveth light and gives me understanding. It illuminates my darkness and points me in the direction that I'm to go. And just says, go there. Walk there. And that is the gift of God. And it's precious and it's wonderful. I don't know about you, but if you were in the military and you had to fight at night, you would love what I'm going to tell you. Especially if you're in American military, you have night vision glasses because we can afford them. Other countries can't. But if you're fighting a battle at night, our military can see in the darkness because of the night vision lenses that allows them to see. What kind of an advantage do you think that gives them between being in darkness or being able to see in the darkness via these special? That's right. So in the darkness, you're still able to see the right choices to make, the right paths to do, the right things, the enemy out there. You see him coming. You see this happening. Do that. That is what the Word of God does. It gives you night vision. We're in a place of darkness that his light diminishes every bit of that. We can go through life with night vision glasses. I mean, there's going to be a day that we're in heaven, and I mean, there is no darkness at all. We're still in a realm of darkness, even though we have authority over it, even though we have freedom from it, even though the enemy cannot, will not take us down, because we've been bought with a price, and it is by the blood of Jesus. So he has no authority over us whatsoever. But we still have to navigate through the darkness, and that's why he gave us the Word of God. So that you have night vision. You have ability to make the right choices in the midst of a whole bunch of dark situations. But you do it with clear vision. Because that's what he gives you in the light. I don't know about you. I think that's cool. Light. You know, that's a little bit of light. This light right here is enough to keep you from stumbling. When you are in pitch darkness, this little light here will allow you to see where to walk so that you don't stumble and fall. Doesn't take much light to keep you from falling, stumbling, and doing some things. This is not a long process, people. It is receiving what's yours. So if I've got light, and I've got just a little bit, it will allow me to know where to walk so that I don't stumble. Now, it's not much light, so I still don't know where I'm going. I'm just not falling. Are you with me? If you're only willing to have a little bit of light, and if you're only willing to receive a little bit of light, and if you're going to live life by just a little bit of light, it's going to help you tremendously because it'll keep you from falling. But you still have no idea where you're going. And you don't see the path. And you don't understand it. Well, you know, if you just have a little more light, something like this will kind of help you a little bit. Because now I don't just see where I'm going to stumble. I also see the path that I'm to go. And so I'm able to focus by not stumbling, but I am going a direction that God has called me to go. And I do that via his light. And obviously, the more light I have, the better chance I have of seeing what God wants me to see and going where God wants me to go. You can go to Henry's and you can be at his house and this will show you the road. All the way down that field, this light will go that far. And the light of God's Word is not limited. We're the only ones that limit it. So you take it, embrace it, let it be for you. Thank you, Danny.
let it be for you what it is meant to be. It is to light your path and to take you where God wants you to go. God's given us every bit of this. He has. But this next passage I'm going to give you, you got to really think this one through. Because you got to understand, God is what? Wise with perfect wisdom. He has insight. What? Perfect insight. He knows all things, correct? Now, I want you to hear what he says about us. This is kind of interesting. When you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. That's you, okay, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do man light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. He says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. You are the light of the world. Is there pressure with that? No. It's not my light. It's not my light. If he turned to me and said, Dennis, all right, from here on out, you're going to be the light of the world. I can't do it. I can't be there. I can't be that. I'm not him. But you know what he did before he left? He eradicated darkness off of us by his death on the cross. He had victory over the enemy. He said, I am going away, but I'm sending to you the Holy Spirit. And then he is living inside of us via his Spirit. What did Paul say? He says, no longer is it I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Something happens when you receive this to where his light is a part of you. His light is in you. I mean, when he left, he just said, light's coming, boys. Light's coming. And you be the light. You be the light. Now, if Christ dwells in you, the light's in you whether you know it or not. The light's in you whether you know it or not. You are the light of the world whether you ever demonstrate it or not. Now, I find his conversation here a little interesting. He says that you are the light of the world and a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. There is purpose in him putting light in us. And the purpose of that is so that his light will be seen. He still expects us to change the dynamic of this world with his light. That's why he gave it back to us. That's why he's interjected us with his light. It's because it makes a difference that we have it. And so out of this, he's just saying that you are the light of the world, and a city set on the hill, it cannot be hidden. So when his light is revealed through you, it's real. And you know what I realize? A lot of people still won't see it. They didn't see his. I'm not going to get a better result than he got. He was perfect in this, and he didn't get a perfect result because the darkness wouldn't receive the light. But I can tell you this, that those that want to receive the light are where the light can penetrate the darkness and where the light can diminish the works of the enemy, where the light in you can make a difference. It does, and it will. And it does it unhindered. And it does it just as pure as if he was here doing it. Because it's his light. It's his light. Now, he makes an interesting statement.
He says, nor does a man light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but he puts it on a lampstand. You know what that's telling me? You can hide the light if you want to. I mean, you can have the light, but you can put the bushel basket over it so nobody can see it. Now, what he's really saying is that's a dumb idea. See, even earthly men wouldn't do that. No earthly guy's going to do a lamp and then just cover it. He isn't going to do that. So why would we choose to do that? Why would we ever let the light of God, the what God is, why would we ever let that be diminished, hidden, or not able to shine? Well, the more I thought about this, and this was when I was driving, when I was thinking about this, I realized that, you know, when it comes to the revelation that I'm getting, is that he gives us this light, and we have it, but he also doesn't take away our choice. He doesn't take away our ability to make our own choice or to go our own way. If I am in the light, have the light, and I'm walking in the light, his light goes unhindered. When I choose to turn and just go my own way, I have the light, but the bushel basket's over it. So the question is, how much of your life do you want to spend under the bushel basket, and how much of your life do you want it to be revealed? And the choice is whether you want to walk your own way or live life in the Spirit. If I live life by the power of the Spirit, his light is there. I don't wake up and ask him for it. It's there. The presence of God is there. It's inside of me. It's there. The love of God, pure as it can be, is inside of me. And I can release it and I can let it have its work and do it. The wisdom of God, all of those things are inside of us. And if you don't just choose to go your own way, put the bushel basket on. I don't know about you, but that just seems like a silly picture. See a church full of people just all under the basket, and every once in a while they lift it off and then put it back and lift it off and put it back. The thing about this passage, listen to this. You put the light on the lampstand, and it gives light to who? To all who are in the house. You know how selective we are of who we're going to share the light with? Who we're going to really let see it, or who's going to do it? And, you know, who would be maybe he might be offended. I can't let him see the light, or I can't do that, or I got to wait for the right time. I'm waiting for the right anointing so I can reveal the light. You know? He just says, it's just on the lampstand. You just there. And the light is shining. And this light shines in the darkness. And if the darkness can't receive it, that's not a problem. They just can't receive it. But those that need the light need to see that the light is there and shouldn't be under the bushel basket so that nobody can receive what God's called you to do. And when I first thought about this, I was thinking, you know, well, I don't ever want to say something that's going to make someone try to work their way into something. This isn't. It's just not going your own way. It's just following his path. If I go his own way, I don't have to ask for it. It's already mine. If I'm walking in his footsteps, I don't have to say, God, please reveal your light to these people. It just happens because he's already there. And it's already there. So he says in verse 16, so let your light so shine before men in such a way that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. He's not talking here about right theology. He's not saying getting your thinking right.
He's just saying, walk in the footsteps of Christ and let the light of who he is shine forth, and that men will just see the fact that you love them. They're going to see the fact that you value these things that God values. They're going to see these things, and as they see your good works, they're going to know, hey, there's something going on here that is God. That's his plan. That's his purpose. That our lights will shine in the darkness, so that his light will accomplish its purposes. All right, so what have we said? Number one, we've just said that God's good. God's good, and he loves you, and he wants you to live in the light and not in the darkness. It's that simple. That's his plan. He sent Jesus to be our example and ultimately to die for us and to break every bondage that would keep you from being able to walk in the light. That's it. I mean, he has freed you to be able to do that. And he invites you to follow him. It's different if Jesus just came and said, okay, this is it, guys, and somehow you're going to have to figure this one out. No. He says, just walk with me. Follow me. The Holy Spirit is in you today to help you just walk this out. How do I, you know, go to my family thing here in a couple days and be the light? How do I do it? Just be who I am in Christ. Walk his way, his patterns. If you're just walking your own way, just turn and walk his way. If you say, well, but I'm so used to it. I know. But just come this way. Walk in that way that his light goes unhindered, and it makes a difference. And it'll make a difference within your family. He just wants us to live in such a way that it does light the path for others. Now, primarily, he wants you free from the darkness. And he's done that for you. And if you can walk free from the darkness, why not let someone else see the light? Why not? Let them see the light. Why not let them receive what you've received? Why not keep the basket off and let it flow so that they can enjoy and to be a part of what you're doing? Ephesians 1:16 is what we're going to close with this passage. And what my intent is here is that I want God, by the Holy Spirit, to minister to you concerning your families. Because we're coming right now into that holiday season and being together. And before we leave, we're going to pray concerning our families and us just interacting with that and being what God wants us to be in this time. And so we're going to agree on that. First of all, we have relatives that need revelation of the light. They need the light to happen. So we need to pray that the eyes of their hearts might be enlightened. And we're going to do that over our families. We're going to say, God, I'm asking that the eyes of, that there would be opened, that they can receive the light. And then we're going to pray concerning just our family time together. And then we're going to pray concerning us, how we can be what he's called us to be and be the light that he needs for our generation. Good with that? All right, let's stand together. If you're with family, it's fine to join with them, hands-wise, if you want to. That's not necessary, but I mean, you can do that if you want. But we're going to spend a little time with this, so this will not just be a quick prayer. But what I want your heart to do would be to seek God concerning any relative, any friend, anyone that needs the revelation of the light of God. In other words, they need to see his light, and that they need the blinders from their eyes to be opened and taken off so that they might see it. And we're going to do that. So, Father, right now, as they're seeking you, I'm just asking you to bring to them revelation So you'll bring to their hearts and their minds the people that you want them to pray for and that you that we're going to agree on together. And we'll speak concerning these people. So you just think about that just for a moment. Just let some people come to your heart.
All right, we're going to pray this prayer, and we're just going to declare that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. So we just declare that the eyes of their understanding is going to be there. In Jesus' name, we declare that that'll be so. Now, Father, we take authority, and we declare that the enemy has no privilege to keep any of our family members in darkness. So we claim them for the kingdom of God, and we declare that your light, your righteousness, your provision, your blessing, your goodness be theirs. In Jesus' name, we declare that that'll be so. And Father, we tear from them the blinders that have been over their eyes that have caused them to see you in the wrong way, that they have not seen you as light and no darkness at all. They've just seen you as maybe a possibility or a God or maybe something out there, but they've never seen you as the light. And they've never seen your heart for them, that your love is pure and your love is perfect for them. And Father, I'm asking today that that revelation become theirs, and it is totally unhindered by the works of darkness. We break it now in Jesus' name, that no powers of darkness can keep them from the revelation of your love and your acceptance and your light for them. Father, we declare that that'll be so. Father, we also know within our families that there are areas of pain that may have happened due to, for whatever reason. Father, we're asking that freedom from those now in the name of Jesus. That yes, the chains will be broken. That no hurt from the past or no hindrance from the past will break a family bond or will break the ability for them to function and to flow together. And Father, we ask your freedom for that right now. In Jesus' name, we declare that that'll be so. That it'll be so. Father, I'm asking and declaring to you that your light will flow through us to those around us. Now, Father, in the areas that we know that we have diminished your light, we do ask not only your forgiveness, but we ask just order our steps the other way and help us in all areas of life, in all areas of life, to be who you would be. Father, work on our hearts so that we are not just departmentalizing you into one area, and yet we don't let you flow in the other areas of our life. Father, we open to you today the whole area of our lives. Father, we open to you our families, our home. We open that to you. Father, in the areas that we're not allowing you to live and not allowing you to flow, not allowing you to be our light, and we're not sensitive to your direction in those areas, Father, move in there. And we receive from you, and we release from you, and we release to you all of our cares, all of our worries, all of our things. We release them to you right now in Jesus' name. Father, we declare today that you will allow us to be the light in the workplace, and that there will be no more hindrance on our part or Father, that we would take off any baskets that we've put on to hide or to diminish in any way the light that you would have given to those around us. Father, I ask that if we're walking in wrong directions, which has really just clouded up the light,
Father, allow us to turn and to walk your direction so that we will just immediately be demonstrating your light in the midst of those that we work with in the workplace. And we ask, Father, that that is so. Father, we also just look beyond that to the world. And Father, if you've declared us as the light of the world, Father, I'm asking that you today just renew our hearts and spirits to welcome that. See, we don't want to hide from that because you've called us to it and that you enable us to be that and that it's by your power and by your strength that those things happen. And Father, it's only by our unwillingness to go that way that we diminish your light. And so, Father, free us from that today, that we will let your light flow freely as you desire. And we thank you for it. Now, Father, as we look forward to these holidays, we, for our families, just ask your blessing, your anointing, all of that to happen. Father, we're declaring salvations will come. We're declaring that health and healing will come and that your abundance will be there and that your provisions will happen. And all of that will be interacting within our families and within our close friendships and those that we will fellowship with over the holidays. And Father, we know that hearts are more open in this season. And Father, just do not let us hinder what you would design. Father, just help us to embrace it and to walk in it. And again, Father, knowing that it is you and only you that brings that about. So we offer it to you and we receive it from you and we thank you for it now. And we bless you and we bless you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.